able to avoid all the paths that look right, but end in destruction. Let's read that verse of scripture together in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord. What commentators say, or what we think, what other people may say, doesn't make a lot of difference, nor does it make a lot of sense most of the time. But when the scripture says, thus saith the Lord, we need to know and realize that we need to pay heed and pay attention. And so Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. What ways is that? His ways, not our ways. And see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. So we know that. The abundant life, we looked at that. And we, of course, couldn't explain all about the abundant life in one message, nor in 100 messages. But we took a survey of that abundant life that he wanted us to have and could have and will have if we walk in his way. But the verse contains something else that we need to explore this morning. A lot of times in the Word of God, people, preachers, I think, may be guilty of it too. They read a verse or they read a, and they take points out of it and they don't look at the whole. But we need to look at the whole. And the last of that verse says, but they said, we will not walk therein. There are people, a majority of the people all the way through history that have said we will not walk in his way. And I want to help us this morning to look at the way that we can avoid being like most of the people. Peer pressure has never in my life, I've got a lot of faults, don't have time to tell you about them, but millions of them. But one thing the Lord's always helped me, a lot of things, but in particular, I never have worried about peer pressure, what others think, what others think. If I just please the Lord, that's enough. We're going to explore this more in the precious Word of God. I suppose if you look at your life up to this point, we've learned. We've learned from the Word of God, but then we learn from one another. We learn to watch those people that walk in the old paths, and how God blesses them, and we learn if we follow those directions, God will bless. I remember one of the sayings of one of my heroes of faith, Dr. Percy Ray. He said to us preacher boys, he said, well, at least you ought to look like a preacher. From the abundance of our heart, we have a desire of our heart, and others don't know the desire of our heart, but that desire of our heart is displayed to others in our deeds. And Dr. Pershray knew that, so he said, you know, other people can't see the desires of your heart except when it's displayed in your deeds, how you act, what you think so many times. The devil even don't know our minds, but he sees our deeds, and other people are looking at our deeds. So I've learned by following people like Dr. J. Harold Smith and the precepts that he taught and Dr. Percy Ray, how they displayed that character. So that is my desire and should be your desire that people watch our lives. The abundance of our heart, the mouth speaketh. Of course, they hear what we say, but our deeds are displayed to others and our attitudes and everything about us. But then there's some other things we need to learn. We need to know how to avoid so much. There is a road and a path that seems right to people, but the end thereof is destruction. One of my favorite places in America is around Stanley, Idaho. And there in that vicinity, the river, the Salmon River, they call it, runs through there. And the Native Americans that often would venture to set sail in their little canoes on that river, they had a name for it, the River of No Return. A lot of people may have ventured in that stream with their canoe, but they noticed throughout the years and that throughout the decades that no one ever returned, which means the river was rough. It was to be avoided. But some other daring soul would come along and say, well, I'll do what others couldn't do. And they would try, and obviously they didn't make the journey. And there's a way in this world that people want to try. You notice on the news, you notice by this generation, and it didn't start in this generation, it started a few years ago, of course, where people don't look at the old ways. They want to try drugs, and they want to make the drugs available to everybody, and on, you see in the news, and people are straying from the old paths. Two places in Word of God we want to go to, first of all, is 2 Timothy chapter 3. It will help us understand and acknowledge, first of all, only 2 points this morning. We want to acknowledge about the way that God has prepared, and the second point will be how we ought to avoid what others say about the old path. So let's trot on this venture together, and there is that winding road that will be empty, a winding road of emptiness. Who wants to go down that road? And many have, and many are. But in this particular portion of God's Word, in 2 Timothy, let's just read a few verses. Chapter 3 of this great book. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And we know that the Word of God is true, and in the last days we're in them. Perilous times not only will come, but have come, and they are upon us today. So we want to look, first of all, at how we are to acknowledge that. And the next few verses says, be aware. We acknowledge the day we live in, and we need to be aware of these times. And once we're aware of them, we can understand God's word, what he wants us to do. Just reading a few verses. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Well, that's something, isn't it? You know, back in the old days, people go those ways, but now if you and I are in the old paths, walking the way of God, they despise us. You never would have thought we'd live in those days, would you? The people that walked the right way would look at others that were in the wrong way, and they wouldn't despise them. They would pray for them and realize their error of their ways. But now, since there's a vast majority going in the wrong way, Bible says, and they said, we will not walk therein. There is such an abundance of those people. They're looking at those people of us that want to walk in the old paths, and they despise us. They despise God. We can't do anything about that, but we ourselves understand and are aware of. He just wants us to be aware of this. Not only does he want to be aware of us, but he wants us to break away from it. Look at verse 5. We break away from that. The Bible says, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. If he wants us to be aware of it, and now he says, we want to turn away from it. We want to break away from the traditions of the world that's going the wrong way, and that hates us for being in the right way, his way. So he says, just avoid it. That's all you can do. You can't change anyone. And it's even in churches, even in worship areas. I'm always amazed. I love to watch sports when I have time. And I've noticed that in basketball in particular, most of the coaches, you know, they look professional and they wear ties and they wear suits. They are proud of the position the university or the high school put them in. I like that. But then there's others that, you know, don't do that, and that's okay in sports. But this is the house of God. If a preacher don't look like Dr. Percy Ray, remember, told us that at least you ought to look like a preacher. May not be able to act like a preacher or preach like a preacher ought to, but under God, I ought to look like a preacher. And I ought to be. Because, see, people don't know my heart, but they see my deeds. And they see the display I have. And if I'm having the respect for the house of God and the Word of God to dress like a preacher, then I ought not to be a preacher. So be aware of these things and break away from the tradition of the world that wants to act like just go to another social gathering or you go to a flea market. I mean, we can all do that. Nothing wrong with it. But at least the house of God, the preachers all look like preachers, should they not? And then we break away from that form of godliness. But we don't have to worry about all that, because look at verse 9. Let's just behold how God's going to attend to it. I can't change the world. You can't change the world. But under God, we can ourselves be what he wants us to be. Let's be aware of this and break away from the form of godliness. But look at verse 9. Let's just behold how God's going to attend to it. He can take care of everything. But they shall proceed no further. He puts a stoplight there. Have you ever stopped at been stopped at the red light? And when the light gets green anymore, even if I am in a hurry, I do not proceed to go through that green light until I look in both directions. It saved accidents a lot of times in my life, because sometimes I sit there another few seconds and here somebody comes the other way and the red light's red and they run it at a high speed. But God puts a brake light on, and when God puts a red light on, proceed no farther. I'm amazed. I noticed it several years ago that there was a stop sign, you know, and a road have stop sign. And to me, stop means stop. But if you notice now in some states and some areas, stop all the way. Why should I have to say all the way if I have already said stop? Have you noticed? Obviously, people don't obey stop signs, and they just slow down and go on. And I've never been taken to court for that, and I hope I never will, because I try to stop at red lights and stop signs. But those that don't, and God's put stop signs ahead for people, don't go in the wrong way, get in the right way, the old paths. And they said, we won't walk therein. Well, listen to what God's going to do about that. We can't do anything, but he can. So he says in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further. Why? For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So he tells us, I'll take care of that. I can't stop those people that run red lights, but under God, I can stop myself and look out for them, be aware of them. And if they want to run the red light, I don't want to be out there in the middle of it, do you? So all those people that run God's red lights and don't obey him and want to walk therein, we can't change them. But under God, we can be aware of it. We can break away from the things they do. And let's just behold how God's going to take care of it. But not only that, look at verse 10 through 13. He says, don't be alarmed at their evil deeds. We live in a world today that nothing really surprises us, nor should surprise us. It alarms us, makes us furious sometimes to see how the world is behaving. But he said, don't be alarmed at it. Look at verses 10 through 13. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Then verse 11, he talks about the persecutions, afflictions. Don't have time to deal with that, because in this world we will suffer persecution. Expect it. It'll happen to you. It'll happen to me. But if God allows us to go through those persecutions, we can bring glory to his name and lift up our face to him and thank him that he has allowed us to suffer persecutions for his sake. There's a special blessing that he puts upon people, upon his people, that endure these afflictions and endure these persecutions and still bring glory and honor to his name. He will allow them. Now, he does always, he puts a stop sign up there, and he says, I'll attend to it. And if they proceed farther and run that, and you and I are aware of it, and we take notice of it, and we bring glory to his name, that's display our deeds, then he is faithful to reward us for that. So he says in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Used to, when I would read that years ago, the thought would come to your mind, well, if I'm going to live for God and suffer persecutions, that's pretty bad. But then when I read that it's a special blessing, a special anointing, for those of us that do suffer persecution and still are allowed to bring glory and honor to his name, then I said, well, it may not be so bad to suffer persecution because he permits us to do that. Sometimes he orchestrates. He paves the way. He initiates things. You say, would he do that? He'll do anything he needs to do for you and I to display godliness to the world so they can see Christ in us. And the end result is bringing glory to his name. And if it's suffer persecutions, that's okay. He already said we shall do it. So he wants us to beware of it. He wants us to break away from the form of godliness, and he wants us to just behold how God's going to handle it. And don't be alarmed at all these evildoers. Just keep reading. Verse 14, our job. But continue thou in the things which I have learned and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So God has taught me in his word. I've seen great men of God that I've been permitted to sit under their ministry. They have been an example to me. I learned so much from Dr. J. Harold Smith through the years, just riding with him and just praying with him and just talking to him. And he was a jokester sometimes. He was serious mind, but then he could be, oh, I remember one time, the last time I think he stayed with us, his wife Murtis had died. And his daughter told me when I picked him up that he doesn't like to stay in motels anymore because Murtis used to be able to go with him, and now she had congestive heart failure and went on to be the Lord in glory. But so I said, okay, we won't put him in motel. We'll let him stay in their house. So Sandra and I gave him our master bedroom, and so we slept in another room. And that night before we went to bed, that Saturday night before we went to bed, the first night, he said, now, Miss Waters, don't get up in the morning and cook a big breakfast. And my young son Michael was with us there night. He had come home from college, and he said, now Dr. Smith, let her cook a big breakfast, because I don't get many of those anymore at college. And he said, okay. And his joke was, but if the Lord comes and that and the rapture comes, I hope you enjoy your breakfast. He let us know. He didn't mean that we weren't. But that's just the way he was, just full of life. And just be around men of God. So he told us in this precious word, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. God has put many of us in our lifetime around men of God that looked like preachers, acted like preachers, displayed a Christian life, and we have been able to enjoy them and been able to learn from them. But most of all, we learn from the precious, precious word of God. One other thing, then we'll get to the second point. Look what we're to do, verses 14 and 17. We've already understood we're aware of what the other people are doing. We're not alarmed at it, and we're beholding God will attend to it. But look what he wants us to do. But we will abide in this book. Look at verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which I have learned, and have been assured of knowing whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which was able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. We will abide in the book. The world will do what the world wants. We're aware of it. And now he tells us we're able to avoid the way the world goes. Let's turn the book, Bibles, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes. We have seen, first of all, how we are to acknowledge the situation we're in, how we're to deal with it. And the way we deal with it is just abide in the book. And the word of God will get us through. In Ecclesiastes, we're going to learn. Remember at the beginning of the message, I told you, the Word of God verifies it. We learn from people that's done right, and then we can learn equally, almost as much, from people that's done wrong. Why? Because we observe how they are like those people. It says we won't do it God's way, And since they haven't, we see the end result of. So let's look at that winding road of emptiness. In Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2, we'll go through as fast as we can this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and chapter 2. Verses 1 through 8 says, there's no labor that's going to help you achieve what you need to achieve. There's nothing in this world, no labor or nothing you can accomplish that really will amount to anything. We'll go hurriedly through these verses. Verse 1, he says, he identifies himself, the words of the preacher, son of David, King Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He lets us know pretty well that anything in this world, of yourself, of anything but God is vanity. He illustrates that two or three ways, doesn't he? Vanity means emptiness. And the Lord wants us to avoid going down that winding road of emptiness and find out at the end, and you'll find out before you get to the end, that there's vanity, nothing there. But yet we've learned how we can have the abundant life, and since most are saying we won't walk therein, we really need to know how we can avoid doing what most people do. You don't learn by doing what the majority does, because remember, they're just a remnant, just a few people. We have the precious word of God. So he continues in verse 3. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and haste to his place where the road. In other words, that's the way life is. You get the morning, the sunset, beautiful sometimes. Sometimes you don't see the sun like this morning. Other times, what a beautiful sunrise. And then you go through the day, you go through this path of life, and you see the sunset. And sometimes we're so busy. You've ever seen one of the most beautiful sunsets you've ever seen in your life? Say, wow. But you're in a hurry. You're looking for a place to park, get out your iPhone and take a picture of it, but you're too big a hurry, or you can't find a parking place. And then the sun sets and another day comes up. Seems like it's just like that, isn't it? And then pretty soon you're older and you realize that you've been on a path that, and you look back at your life. And the question one ought to ask in my life, what have I done for the Lord Jesus Christ? What accomplishments have I had so my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren can see what I've done for the Lord? And if you say, well, I'm not too pleased with that, thank God you're not quite at the end of the road yet. We can avoid some things that the preacher is teaching us in this word. There are no labors or achievements that we can do that's going to accomplish anything, because the day arises, the day closes, and we are not able to do anything except those accomplishments that we have done for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verses 12 and 14, we see there's no labors or accomplishments we can do that's worth anything, but we can learn through the wisdom that God gives us. Look at verses 12 through 18. Hurriedly. Now the preacher was king over Israel in Jerusalem. The Lord had put him into an important spot. And if you're a parent, God's put you in an important spot. If you're a grandparent, or if you're a child and you're living in a home that mom and dad perhaps don't know God, every person has been put in the spot where you can be important. And here King Solomon was. Remember, he was the one chosen by his father to sit on the throne after him, but more importantly, he was chosen by his God to sit on the throne. And God has chosen you, and he's chosen me. And now his life has been spent. Unfortunately, it's been spent in the wrong ways. Remember, God told him there's a way that seemeth right, and you need to follow it, Solomon. And his father David instructed him also. But then he started listening to the world and the things of the world. He got all these wives, and it's one thing, but he got wives that worshiped other gods. and they had such an influence on him and his life. And he would listen to them, and he would build them places of worship for their gods. And pretty soon it turned his heart away from his Lord God. But thank God, God brought him back, and he's writing the words for instruction so we can avoid the mistakes he made. And you may be here this morning, and none of us are perfect. Solomon wasn't perfect, and there's only one perfect person, that was Christ Jesus, full man and full God. But yet we can learn from others' mistakes, we can learn from other people's accomplishments, and we can learn from the precious word of God. And Solomon is going to teach us now some things that we need to learn. We're going to learn through the wisdom God gave us. So he said, "Then I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therein. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." He's letting us know for the second and third time how anything of yourself, the world standards, is going to end up on the winding road of nothing. Emptiness, vanity, zero plus zero, zero times zero is nothing. And that's what's going to happen when people follow their own ways, like the majority of people said in Jeremiah, we will not walk therein. So if you're here this morning, you don't want to walk the ways of God, you don't want to walk the abundant life, and you see others, the majority of people going the other way, your desire to go, it's going to end up in emptiness. We need to learn how to avoid that. And Solomon is teaching us that it's not God's earthly wisdom, it's God's wisdom. Look at chapter 2. Many people are longing, and I'm afraid this world standard is longing for pleasure. Whether it's pleasure in television or pleasure, anything, just pleasure of this world. And God gives us a lot of things we can have pleasure in, but the most important thing is pleasure serving the Lord Jesus Christ and displaying deeds of kindness to others and to our fellow man and to our children and their children's children, so they can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. So let's look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, "I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter is mad, of myrrh, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself into wine, yet acquainted mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till not see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So I was looking for pleasure. I found no pleasure in the world or the world standards. He had it all. He had his myrrh, he had his perfumes, he had his wine, he had his women, he had all these things. And he said, all this has ended up in vanity of vanities, vexation of spirit. But the Lord Jesus Christ has instructed us and give us opportunity. And then he continues, look at this low life of drunkenness. People go to these parties and they drink their cocktails and they drink their wine. Thank God for those leaders we have, and there are a few, and there are America that don't drink the strong drink and don't promote it. Many have said we want to go that way. Well, let's look what Solomon said about it all in the verses following, and look at verse 3. Look at this low life of drunkenness. So I sought my heart to give myself to wine. Yet acquainted my heart with wisdom. Lay hold on folly till might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So he said, I took that road, and I looked at low life of drunkenness. My mother and dad taught me, and my grandparents all taught me, don't touch it, don't look upon it. And so I've learned by following them not to ever touch it. And I've also, we used to I have a long way to walk home. And on the way to the house, there was a family and a man down there that drank a lot. And I have seen him laying in the ditch line and getting drunk and getting tired. Dad would get out and help him get back to the house. But my brother and I, we would walk onto the house, just leave that alone. I said, what error people have of getting drunk and strong drink. So I've learned from people that don't do this because it's wrong, and I've learned by people that do it. And who wants to wake up drunk? Who wants to drive drunk or intoxicated and kill somebody or have an accident yourself? The low life of drunkenness. No wonder it's vanity of vanities, he said. So we're looking for wisdom. We're learning through the wisdom of God, and then he displays that low life of drunkenness. But then he said, well, a lot of people say, well, I don't drink and all that. That's good. Well, that love for riches. He puts that on display too. Look at verses 4 through 11. The love for riches. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees. And them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therein the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and particular treasures of kings and of provinces. I kept me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion, all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. He had the riches. He had all the things life offered him. He had the wine. He had the women. And the end result that he displayed, and for you and I to learn how to avoid, it ended up in nothing. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. So we have seen a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, about the abundant life, the old paths, and we have seen today how to acknowledge and how to take knowledge of those that walk in the wrong way. And there is a majority of them, but that don't bother me. God will take care of it. But you and I need to learn how to avoid it, because their end thereof is destruction. Let's turn the Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, all the way to the back, chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. Let's look at the closing thought of living for God. The world hates us because we do, but who cares about what the world does or thinks or how they act? We're serving the God that is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Let's look how we can avoid all these traits of the many that says we won't walk therein, and how we can learn to live for God. Verse 13, chapter 12, the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, God will handle it all and take care of it all. But you and I need to learn how to avoid. We have seen how to acknowledge what's going on, and now we have seen how Solomon taught us how to avoid it. We're told in the second book of Timothy how we can look to him, the author, and how we can acknowledge him, and he'll bless us. Then we look how to avoid all these traits, all these things that the world offers that brings nothing but vanity of vanities. Doesn't take a wise person at all to know which road to travel. The old paths they laid home, they laid heavenly. Word of God, living for God. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. Brother Randy, you have a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart. The winding road of emptiness, how to avoid it. There's only one road that leads onward and upward. That's the road and the pathway of Jesus Christ through his precious word, through his precious shed blood. If you're here this morning and you haven't acknowledged him and you haven't bowed to him and you haven't asked him to forgive you your sins, well, the opportunity is this morning. Hell doesn't like this message. Doesn't bother me. I'm quite happy about it because I hate Satan and all the works of Satan. And I love what God, but you and I want to live in this world so others can see the desire of our heart. It will be displayed in your actions, in your deeds, in your testimony. And God forgives. None of us sure this morning are perfect. We look back at their lives and know we haven't been all we ought to be. But Solomon acknowledged it all and told us how we could avoid these pitfalls. Altar is open. If you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, please come at this time. If you want to acknowledge to him that you want to be more faithful to him in this life, just acknowledge, Lord, I'm going to travel your road. Would you make that commitment this morning as we sing? how wonderful it is that we can ask him to show us that pathway, his pathway of life through his word that leads to an abundant life, not only going to heaven, but for others to follow. Isn't it good? I had teachers in school, a few of them at least, that taught me just stand around and look and look at the future. And my parents and preachers taught me it's not just about today, it's about the future. And then for all those that won't listen, there's so many people in this world that you look at their life, how they have been like Solomon, wasted life. What's it in the depth? Vanity, nothing, all about nothing. But we today have opportunity, no matter the past. Paul says, forget the past, press on toward the mark, high calling, God in Christ Jesus. And we can leave behind a testimony, no matter what the past has given us. We can end their life. We don't know when that will be, do we? Just a few more days, a few more hours, perhaps a few more months or years. Doesn't matter. Preachers stand behind the podium. We're in front of their casket. We're home with heaven, but their testimony is still behind. Wouldn't you like to have a testimony that the preacher could truthfully say that person lived for God? More importantly, children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren could look back and say, granddad, grandmother, they lived for God. It will make them more determined that they won't live for God. If it doesn't, it's going to end up vanity of vanities. Brother God, if you'll come, dismiss us, my brother.
Just a quick announcement. There'll be a nominate committee meeting today at 5 in the conference room if you can be there. And let's remember Joyce Moore's this coming Tuesday. She'll be having some serious surgery. God's able, and he's on the throne. Praise him for that.
Go ahead, and then before you pray, I got something.
Well, it won't make headlines on the evening news. It won't be in the Asheville Citizen Times tomorrow. Won't be in the radio, on the radio this afternoon. There's one place that's making news, and that's in heaven. The Bible tells us, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner that gets gloriously born again. Now, I know Jesus Christ is in the presence of those angels, and I believe it's him rejoicing this morning. Ashley this morning got gloriously born again.
Amen. Amen.
I asked her what happened. She said, I got saved.
Amen.
Bless his name. I'm glad he's still saving sinners. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a word. He has an announcement for us before you pray, brother.
Amen. I'm proud of you, Ashley.
We've all had a good service this morning, and I'm not here to preach. The pastor would ask him to let me remind you, the senior citizens, there's a luncheon at the Bay Breeze on Highway 25 in it. Hendersonville on Wednesday at 11 o'clock. There's a sign-up sheet in the back to discuss our future events and trips, and etc. Thank you very much.
Just a reminder, all of our youth, all the parents of the youth, this coming Saturday, the 22nd, we're having a youth service there over at Maranatha Baptist Church. The bus will be leaving at 4:30 here to church. We're eating pizza at 5, and the service will start at 7 o'clock. And on the way back, we'll stop and get ice cream dessert for our youth. So that's this Saturday, 4:30, youth and parents. I think there'll be plenty of room on the bus. Be here, and we'll leave to go over to Maranatha this Saturday. Anything else? Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your blessings. We thank you this morning, Father, for your goodness. Lord, we thank you this morning, Father, that you're still saving sinners. Lord, I'm thankful that the faith that you've given Ashley to call upon your name, Lord, writing her name in the Lamb's Book of Life, giving her eternal life, forgiving of her sin, Lord, we thank you for that most of all. For the message we heard, Lord, for the songs uplift the, your Son's name and our Savior's name, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. I pray, Father, you'd be with us the rest of the day. Bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.